Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's June 5th, 2017. It's Monday. This is a follow-up on a couple of other interviews we've done. If you have any interest in the JFK assassination, if you know who Dorothy Kilgallen is, then you really need to hear this show. Dorothy Kilgallen, whose son I was kind of named for, she was a famous actress, investigative reporter in the late 50s, early 60s, and died a very suspicious death. And Mark Shaw, you are with us now, author of countless books. You wrote a book, The Reporter Who Knew Too Much, and I guess place to get info is thereporterwhoknewtoomuch.com, and kind of led to a firestorm here of renewed interest in the suspicious death of Dorothy Kilgallen. So on that note, we welcome you back to the show.
Well, thanks, Kerry. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so things have been happening here. This has become what I would call a crowdsourced investigation. I wonder if there's a Reddit discussion on it.
You never know. There might be, but yes, it has. We talked early on when the book had just come out, and now it's in its fifth or sixth printing, and almost 200 reviews up on Amazon, and I get all these letters from people around the world. The book struck a chord somewhere or another, either because of people that knew who Dorothy Kilgallen was from What's My Line, you know, the television show, and that's all they knew about her, or they knew about this mysterious death of hers in 1965, and for whatever reason, that's resonated with a large audience, and many of those people who've read the book have gotten in touch with me through email and provided me with tips or information that is helping with the investigation into Dorothy's death.
Yeah, and for good reason. And there is a Reddit thread here going back to February of this year. So this is, it's not a cold case anymore or a closed case. It wasn't really cold. It was never thoroughly investigated. I guess you should probably tell us the circumstances surrounding her death and why you wrote the book again.
Well, you may recall that I wrote a biography of Melvin Belli, the bombastic San Francisco attorney, most famous lawyer probably in the 20th century, and he represented Jack Ruby. And so I looked into Belli and I found out about his mob affiliations and all these other kind of things, and found about some questions about his representing Jack Ruby and this crazy insanity defense he used and everything. And I wrote a book about that. And so I was going to kind of leave that alone. And then I took that and I wrote a book called The Poison Patriarch, which traced back to Joe Kennedy and his promise to the mobsters that if they helped him win the 60 election, new administration would leave them alone. Then Joe double-crossed them. And so there was motive there by those gangsters, particularly one, to have wanted to knock off, kill, assassinate, whatever you want to say, JFK, so that Bobby Kennedy, who was after those guys, would be powerless. And that's what happened. So I was pretty much done. But while I was working on the Belli book, a friend of his, a doctor in San Diego, said, well, Belli knew Dorothy Kilgallen. And I said, oh, come on, from What's My Line? And he said, no, Mark, you don't know anything about her. She was this media icon. She was this investigative reporter. She was this journalist syndicated to 200 newspapers across the country. What's My Line stardom. She was an amazing woman, but she covered the Jack Ruby case, the guy who shot the Harvey Oswald. And Belli knew her from there. And you know, it's interesting, after she died, Belli said to me, well, they've killed Dorothy. Now they'll go after Jack Ruby. They've killed Dorothy. Now they'll go after Jack Ruby. I can never get that quote out of my mind. And so after I finished the two books, I decided to look into Dorothy's death. And that's what opened the window into learning more about Dorothy, who she was, and then learning about this mysterious death of hers in 65. I started looking into that as well.
Right. And so it's always, you know, when you hear like something happens, somebody dies, you say, they killed him. They killed Kennedy, or they they killed Martin Luther King. It's just immediately, you don't say he killed him. You immediately jump to the conclusion that there's more than one person involved. Is that human nature, or is that conditioning, or a little bit of both?
Well, I think we do think in conspiratorial terms at times with regard to things. In this situation, you know, that was just something credible about what this man told me, this doctor. It just seemed like, you know, Belli would say something like that and use the word they. So I don't know if it's human nature or not, but in this situation, at least, it was strong enough that I felt like I had to look into it. And, you know, once you do that, and I think I told you before that I think Dorothy kind of has led me along from the hereafter with regard to that. It was just one thing after another that I kept learning that didn't make sense about Belli's representation of Ruby. And then ends up Dorothy is the only reporter at his trial to interview him, and she did it twice. Then she exposes his testimony before the Warren Commission before it's supposed to be released. I mean, it just kept going on, and I kept getting more curious about what happened with regard to it in 1965. So maybe it would have been stronger if he said he killed her, now they'll go after Ruby, instead of they killed her. I think they probably made it more made it stronger for me to look into this, I guess, when you think about it. I've never thought about it too much, but I think that being said, it made me believe that there was more than one person involved in this, and that's kind of how I approached the investigation.
Yeah, interesting. So obviously, being a private individual, a writer, you don't start an investigation the way the authorities would start, right? Where do you begin?
What I tried to do is, first of all, find everything out I could find about Dorothy, and I was amazed at her. And the first third of the book is pretty much a tribute to Dorothy and lets people know who she was and, you know, what an incredible career she had. She broke the glass ceiling before we even knew what that was involved with. I mentioned all of her career. She raised three children, and you mentioned the youngest one was named Carrie, and apparently you were named after Carrie based on your mother's affection for Dorothy, I should say. So I looked into all of that, and I found out just about her, and some quotes you just kept coming at me, like Bennett Cerf, who was her panel partner on What's My Line, said, you know, when Dorothy went after a story, nothing could stop her. The New York Post called her the most powerful female voice in America. Ernest Hemingway said she's the greatest female writer in the world. I mean, I just got a great admiration and respect for her, but she was a real reporter. How many people, Carrie, have said to me, boy, we need a reporter with Dorothy's integrity today. She didn't mess around with fake news. She went after the facts and all of that. And so I just wondered about this because she was writing about the JFK assassination. 7 days after JFK died, she wrote her first column, The Oswald Alone Theory Makes No Sense. You know, she kept after this, after finding the truth, because she knew JFK. He was a friend of hers. And so she wanted to find out what happened. So I went that direction, and then I found a gold mine. There was a magazine in the Midwest called Midwest Today, and they had an article called Who Killed Dorothy Kilgallen in 2007. I looked at that article, and they had interviewed Kilgallen's two hairdressers, the contestant on What's My Line on the last show of Dorothy's life, who saw her at the Regency Hotel after the show and describes a mystery man she met with, Joe Tannehill, who was the co-counsel for Jack Ruby, all those videotaped interviews now that we found out about her up on the DorothyKilgallenStory.org. People can look at them. They're noted in the book. And that provided a real gold mine because it let me into that window of what was happening back there as November 8th, 1965 came, when she finally died. So it was a progression that way. And then I found some other witnesses who had talked about Dorothy and her being scared. She told one of the hairdressers, I'm afraid for my life and my family. I'm going to get a gun. She told the other one, if the wrong people knew what I know about the JFK assassination, it would cost me my life. So I knew she was in jeopardy. And then I kind of took that, looking at the last days of her life as September, October, November came about, and tried to then look into, okay, let's look at the autopsy. Let's see if it's faulty or not. Let's find out who this mystery man was she met with the night before she died. Let's look into the forensics aspect of this and all of that. And that's what led me to the facts and conclusions that are in the book.
Yeah. And if you haven't seen the book yet or purchased it, it's The Reporter Who Knew Too Much. Just go over to thereporterwhoknewtoomuch.com. You can order it, or Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or wherever fine books used to be sold, right? And so the information just keeps coming in, and it's like a crowdsourced investigation now. And from what you've said, you've met with representatives or people who are handling the investigation, and they appear very sincere and very interested in this case.
Yeah, what happened here, Kerry, is in when the book came out, a few months ago, I decided to write a letter to Cyrus Vance Jr., the New York City District Attorney's Office, because despite all of the questions about a staged death scene and a faulty autopsy, which is in the book, all of that kind of thing, there was no investigation in 1965, and I felt like Dorothy didn't get the justice she deserved as the victim of a homicide. I think we proved that she didn't die accidentally of a drug overdose and alcohol, and she didn't commit suicide. She was murdered. She was writing a book for Random House, and whoever decided she couldn't write that book decided to silence her. So I wrote him a letter, and my agent laughed and said, Mark, it's about a million to one shot, because they're probably going to say, well, we had 25 murders in the Bronx last night. We don't have time for this. But lo and behold, in January, Sue Edelman at the New York Post, who's a great champion for Dorothy's rights, was able to announce that the DA was looking into Dorothy's case. Since then, there was even more proof of that happening. They called it an investigation. They assigned an assistant district attorney and a senior investigator to look into the case. And this past Friday, I was in New York City, and I was able to meet with that chief investigator. I can't go into the details of the meeting because it's an ongoing investigation, but I will say I was able to provide with him all of my new evidence that I had come up with, including some witnesses who've come forward based on readers and people that have listened to shows like yours. And we discussed the investigation, and I have to say I was very impressed with this guy. He's a former New York City homicide detective. He had done his homework. He knew a lot about the case. He'd read the book, all of that. And so, yes, I believe sincerely, at least so far, that they are on the job, that they are looking into this, and they are taking it seriously. Now, in this day and age, we're all skeptical of what may happen, but I felt like as I walked out of that meeting that she may very well get the investigation she should have had back in 1965. Now, what it will turn up, we don't know, but that's really good news that at least that the investigation is ongoing. I think that's for sure.
Yeah, and what's amazing is how many years has it been? I mean, it's
almost 52, 50, almost 52
yeah,
years.
I was going to say, yeah. So, I mean, because she died so shortly after Kennedy, and that there could still be more information. People who didn't come forward for the original investigation of her weren't even interviewed. And
oh yes, and it's been amazing, Kerry. I'll give you one good example. There's a show called Coast to Coast, which is on from midnight to 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It's a paranormal type show. I've been on there a couple times. And the other day, I get an email from somebody who happened to listen to that show and had read the book, and they tell me about gentleman in the Midwest who gives talks about the Kennedy family and the investigate JFK assassination to libraries. And they were at one of those speaking engagements, and a woman stood up and said, well, I should tell you. Oh, I'm sorry. The man who gave that talk said, here's some books you might want to look at. And so one of them had to do with Kilgallen. And so this woman stood up and said, well, you know, I'm the waitress who waited on Dorothy the night before she died at PJ Clark's in New York City.
Oh, wow.
And gave a little bit of information and that kind of thing. And so that was passed on to me. And now we're trying to track down this woman. And so if any of your listeners, you know, have any information, it's amazing how many people are alive or know somebody who was alive way back then. You know, we want to know that information because we're trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together as to all the suspects that we have in the book. You know, it's a true crime murder mystery. And so there are different suspects, and any bit of information really helps us that way. But that's the power of a book, because once it's out there and then you get the media situation, I won't be surprised if somebody who listens to your show emails me and or gets a hold of you or emails me and says, hey, I knew X and she did this and she knew Kilgallen and so on and so forth that way. And that's where we could really use the help from the public.
Wow. Yeah, that's such a great thing. And all this information, it's out there. And yet, if you hadn't written your book, if you hadn't, that stray sentence hadn't been dropped to, they killed Dorothy Kilgallen, now they'll kill Ruby. I mean, where would you be?
That's right. And you know, you're a curious person. You're a man of the truth. We want to find out what happened back then. You know, yeah. Dorothy was the victim of a homicide. And
obviously,
people say to me, why is this so important? Why are you fighting for Dorothy? And I say, look, it doesn't matter if she was murdered 5 days ago, 5 years ago, or 50 years ago. There's no statute of limitations on murder. We have a chief suspect who's living out in Ohio who knows that I've targeted him as somebody who either was directly involved in her death or complicit in her death. He knows something about it. And I truly believe at some particular point a DA investigator will be at his doorstep, because we do want to bring forward anybody who was involved in a homicide. And that's what we have here.
Yeah, clearly. And the mixed barbiturates on the glass, that evidently that evidence was discarded or never picked up on. I think proves beyond pretty conclusively, because nobody commits suicide or nobody accidentally overdoses with, with multiple barbiturates.
Well, that's right. And those capsules were opened. They weren't taken, we know, because of some residue on a glass. They weren't taken as capsules. And so we know that's, you know, what happened back then. And you know, in some ways, we have some government corruption there with the NYPD and the medical examiner's office.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now able to say that there were some witnesses back there. We now know we're threatened with not talking about Dorothy's case and not coming forward. We even have today some people who have been reluctant to talk about that case. So for whatever reason, it was just buried, you know, and I feel like, as I say, that Dorothy kind of, I don't know if she chose me to tell her story, but somehow or another, it ended up in my lap. And now we have people like you who are letting a lot of people know about it. And hopefully we will find the truth.
Yes, the truth will out. I do believe that for sure. And it's just a question of the right person coming forward and getting it out there. And I think just the fact that the DA's office, the Manhattan DA's office, has gone and picked up on an investigation on a case that was closed almost half a century ago kind of says it all, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I think so, that they're taking it seriously. And as I say, it's just amazing. I'm looking at my email here, probably 15 emails today from people who've read the book and have some sort of information. Sometimes it's a little way out there, but I don't care. And I answer every email. And you know, if people want to get a hold of me, they can do it through my website, markshawbooks.com, and they do. And if people are going to take the time to do that, then I'm going to get back in touch with them, because, you know, I really appreciate their caring about Dorothy, who was a remarkable woman. I mean, Carrie, she died at age 52.
Yeah.
52 years old was all she was. And, you know, she was a woman, you know, who pursued the truth at all times. And she, you know, she was really trying to expose what she believed was the truth about the JFK assassination. And those people that were threatened by that, they just couldn't let her do that.
Yeah, it certainly appears that way. And God knows there is a trail of bodies going back, stretching back 55 years now, I guess it is, 54 years.
Exactly.
So
exactly. There sure is. There sure is.
There's a trail of them, and you don't have to be a conspiracy nut job to believe that either, right?
No, so. Not at all. Because, you know, if people that make up their own mind about what Dorothy uncovered through her columns and articles and everything and the videos that are up there at the Dorothy Kilgallen story.org, they can make up their own mind. But Dorothy saw this as not a conspiracy. She saw this as a straight mob hit. She believed that the revenge part, the motive part, was all there for those people who wanted to make Bobby Kennedy powerless. They killed JFK. And it seems like a very straightforward common sense, logical conclusion and theory as to what she decided. As I say, people can make up their own mind. But if you follow the trail from the Jack Ruby trial that she covered all the way to the day she died, you will see exactly where she was headed and what she was going to write about. And as I say, those people who were threatened by that had to silence her. And of course, that's the worst form of censorship. She couldn't write that book that she was going to write. And her file, as you know, disappeared. We We've never mm-hmm. found it. I hope that it's still out there, that at some point we might even recover the files. So they silenced Dorothy. The killers won in many ways, but I hope through the book and the efforts of the DA and all of that, we've shined some light, at least, on what she was after at that time.
Yeah, let us hope. Well, hey, it's a noble undertaking, a real adventure, and a real mystery that hopefully one day will be solved, and we'll all know the truth then. Hey, Mark, it's been great having you. So the best website is thereporterwhoknewtoomuch.com. If people want to send an email, if you know anything about this case, where do you send it to?
Yeah, they can either go to the website and get that, or it's, I don't mind giving it out. It's mshawin@yahoo.com. mshawin@yahoo.com.
All right. Excellent. And hey, you can always send me an email, kl@carrielutz.com. And while you're at it, take a look at the website, sign up for the free newsletter, the Twitter feed's @CarrieLutz, the Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Mark, thanks so much for coming back on, and wish you the best of success solving this mystery.
Thank you so much, Gary. I appreciate it.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.